grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from John, the 9th chapter. Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Dear friends of Christ, in our text, we're dealing with a blind man. He was born blind, and then Jesus heals him. Now, can you imagine what an impact that would be on a man who had never seen anything in any day of his life? What an impact a healing like that would be. Jesus asked the healed man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, so that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. It is he who is speaking to you." Now listen to this man's confession. Now remember, he was just healed for the first time seeing. And he said, "Lord, I believe." And then he worshiped. How many people have you worshiped in this life? Five of them? You've worshiped three people in your life. You haven't worshiped any people? Well, of course not. That'd be kind of a ridiculous thing to do, wouldn't it, to worship a human being, somebody like yourself? And yet that's exactly what the blind man did. Worshiped another human being. He worshiped the one who healed him because he believed. He believed. Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. And it's the season of Lent. It's time for us to realize that too, isn't it, as Jesus makes his journey to the cross to die for our sins. It's time for us to make the same confession. Yes, Lord, I believe. Listen, if we walk in darkness, we can't see. When we walk in darkness, you can't perceive. We can't believe. But my friends, we all do believe. Why? Why are we all seeing? Why are we all believing? Jesus gives us the answer. He says, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Our theme for this morning, Jesus heals the blind. In our Old Testament lesson, people are always looking for the Messiah to come. They were looking and waiting, waiting and looking for years and for centuries, and nothing. The prophets gave the people can't miss kind of clues, though. When a man comes and he starts healing the blind, that's the guy. Pretty simple. Just start paying attention. When the blind start seeing, everyone should have known. Everyone should have believed. Everybody should have read the scriptures. Because Jesus not only healed the blind, he healed every kind of infirmity. He even raised people from the dead. Do you believe? Well, the people that Jesus healed, every single one of them believed. They all worshiped him. And again, how many people have you worshiped? Five of them? Five people you bowed down to before? Three? None? The blind man believed, and he bowed down and worshiped Jesus because he's the Messiah, he's Lord, Jesus is God. And God's about to go to the cross to die for our sins. So why are you here this morning? Well, you're here this morning for one reason. You are here to bow down and worship. You're here to sing the hymns. You're here to pray the prayers. To bow down and worship the man, Christ Jesus. This same Jesus is your God. This same Jesus is your Savior. And he's brought you out of the darkness of unbelief into the light of his redeeming love. And he's opened your blind eyes so that you can see, so you can understand. Remember, Jesus said these amazing words, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And Jesus is still in the world. Jesus lives in you. Jesus lives in me, our Savior and our God. Yes, 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 Lord, we believe. Our text this morning gives a long, detailed account about a blind man. Of course, there was so much blindness. Yes, the blind man was healed. But then we have all the blindness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the Jewish leaders. A lot of blindness going on. They refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah despite the messianic evidence. They allowed their intentional, stubborn darkness of their unbelief to prevail. Intentional, stubborn darkness. Stubborn darkness is always dark. Stubborn unbelief is always intentional. People simply choose to ignore the evidence. They ignore prophecy. They don't care to read the Old Testament. They don't care to read the prophets. They ignore God's word. They intentionally walk in the darkness of their sinful lifestyles, doing what they want to do. Even though Jesus is the light of the world, they refuse to see the light, and worse, they refuse to understand the light, and they reject Jesus. They don't worship him. The man who had been born blind didn't reject. He was healed. He believed and he worshiped. Of course, as a blind man, he wasn't able to see Jesus. He had been blind. Jesus saw him. And Jesus is the one who always turns to those. He always turns to those who are struggling, turns to those who are abused, turns to those who are fearful and lonely, floundering in life. Jesus went directly to the blind man without even speaking to him, didn't even speak a word. Walks up to him and he spat on the mud, spat on the ground, and made some mud, a batch of mud, and he put the mud on the blind man's eyes. Now it makes no sense, makes no human sense. Because man can't see. I don't care how much mud you put in his eyes. But remember, this was Jesus made mud. This was a Messiah made mud. This was God made mud. The same God who at creation was there and took from the dirt of the earth and breathed life into our first parents. The same God who spat in that same dirt and then took the mud not to create first humans, but instead to fix blindness. And then he commanded this man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and he washed and he came back healed. And then he bowed and he believed and he worshiped. Yes, Lord, I believe. Now, none of the Jewish leaders that were there believed. They didn't even believe his confession. They said, this man's a sinner. He doesn't know anything. But the man born blind, he knew. In the first century, it was thought that if you had some kind of physical disability or some kind of terrible infirmity, it was always a direct result of somebody doing something terrible. It was a family sin or your sin. And so the disciples wanted to know who sinned. Was it this man or his parents? Somebody made this terrible thing happen. Religion for them was a matter of cause and then effect. Bad things like blindness happens to bad people. Sin now, pay later. Sin today, punishment tomorrow. And there had been a reason. There had to be a reason that this guy was born blind. Someone sinned, right? We, the enlightened people of God, the baptized children of God, even we with the Bible and all the knowledge we have of Christ, sometimes we think that way. When tragedy strikes, when disability is diagnosed, when chronic pain, chronic illness becomes permanent pain, and condition has no cure, what's the inevitable question that we hear every single time? What did I do to deserve this? Every single time. What did I do to deserve this? And despite that question, we all know. Sin now, pay later. Sin today, punishment tomorrow. We all know what we truly deserve. But either way, this is the devil's most effective tool. We know what we deserve. And if Satan can lead you into a thought pattern where you despair, or into a thought pattern where you live in self-pity, he wins. Because through that suffering, he gets you to focus on yourself. Through that illness, through that tragedy, he gets you to focus on you and your life and not focus on the one who is the light of the world. Not on Jesus. I guess you could say we're just kind of like the blind man. We can't see Jesus. But it didn't matter whether the blind man could see Jesus or not. Jesus saw the blind man. By nature, we sinners are blind spiritually. Our parents sinned. Their parents sinned. And their parents sinned all the way back to our original parents who ate the forbidden fruit. Sin is a hereditary condition. We all have it. We're all born spiritually blind, not seeing a thing in regard to the things of God. We're born in spiritual darkness. We're born steeped in sin. Do we deserve bad things to happen to our lives? Take a guess. So it takes Jesus. It takes his anointing to heal blindness. Not an anointing with mud, but anointing with blood. And that's what Jesus did. He anointed you with the water in the Word. And that little splash gave you forgiveness. That splash of water washed you, opened your eyes. And in that moment, Jesus healed you. Yes, Lord, I believe. He opened your eyes so you can see his light. And you remember what Jesus said? As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus demolishes all the ridiculous false ideas that we have about religious cause and effect. He rebuffed the disciples' question and said, it was not this man who sinned or his parents, but so that the works of God might be displayed in him. I want you to think about that for a moment. Who worshiped Jesus? Did the religious leaders? No. They didn't worship him. Who worshiped him? Those who were healed. Those through whom God's might was displayed. Jesus used sickness. Jesus used pain. Jesus used suffering. Jesus used the darkness. He used grief. And he used all those horrible tragedies to turn people to him so that they could see the light and worship him. And the blind man said, yes, Lord, I believe. Do you believe? By nature, we don't. When tragedy strikes, when disability weighs heavy on our heart, we always ask the same question, why? Better question probably would be where? Where is Jesus in the midst of my darkness? Where is Jesus in the midst of my suffering? Where's Jesus when darkness closes in? And the answer to that question is always the same. Jesus answers, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. the same answer Jesus told the blind man. Jesus said to him, "You've seen the Son of Man. It is he who is speaking to you." "Yes, Lord, I believe." Do you see? There's light in our darkness. There's light in our sickness. There's light in our suffering. Jesus is still in the world. He still lives in you. He is still our Savior, and he is our God. Yes, Lord, we believe. Unfortunately, we still doubt. That disease of spiritual blindness still plagues us. However, it isn't so much as a lack of vision and sight as it is a lack of faith. We have weak faith. And too many days we spend our days blinded to the things of God. And too many days we act and live as if God doesn't exist or even matter. And when things are going well, we give ourselves credit for all the things that we've accomplished. But when things are going badly, and the world starts to struggle and things around us start to struggle, we see our sufferings as punishment from an angry God. What have I done to deserve this and why? But something happened to you as you groped about in the darkness, in your spiritual blindness as you grope around seeking God. Jesus reached out and he grabbed you. He anointed you, not with mud, but with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus reached out to you so that your eyes see him. He reached out to you so that your ears are open to hear him. He gave you faith to receive his gifts with thanksgiving. And the man born blind was a miracle. You're no less of a miracle. Our Old Testament lesson reminds us what Christ has done. Isaiah says to the Messiah, "I will lead the blind." This is the Messiah speaking in the Old Testament. "I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things that I will do, and I will not forsake them." God will not forsake you. He guides you. Remember Jesus' words? "I am the light of the world." The Word of Christ creates and sustains faith, and that's why we're here today. It's worked on us. It's why the blind man believed and worshiped. The word for worship, almost always in the gospel, means bodily movement, bending of the knees, folding of the hands, closing of the eyes, focus of Christ in the heart. Worship. In our epistle, Paul reminds us what worship looks like, what it looks like to walk in the light of Christ. "At one time, you all were in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." And so try to discern what's right and pleasing to the Lord. "Yes, Lord, I believe. And what's my act of worship? Keep his commandments." Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.